God's word has so much to say about the destinies of seed or the destinies of our children. Even the youngest seed have been marked by God for divine purpose. They're never too young to grab a hold of the things of God. I was not raised in the house of God. I didn't get the things of God at a young age. And that's why I got into so much trouble. That's why I was so messed up. Because, you know, I got saved at age 18. Married Becky at age 20. And it's been an adventurous ride of bless and prosperity ever since. Hallelujah. 40 years. I mean, you know, that's a great milestone. 40 years of marriage. Hallelujah. We got there because she slapped me around a few times. And, you know, and then I straightened up. No, y'all know I'm just being silly. But even the youngest seed are marked by God for divine purpose. Consider this, that David was anointed by the prophet Samuel as a teenager to be the next king of Israel. Estimated that David was 16 years old when the prophet of God poured oil on his head and made the declaration, this is the next king of Israel. That's destiny right there. Amen. That's destiny. Consider this. Josiah, in which we named our son, was named by God 32 years before he was born. The prophet of God said through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, there's going to be a son born, Josiah by name. God spoke that 32 years before his birth. He became king at age 8. That's why I say he legalized chewing gum in class. First thing he instituted as a king. We got to change these rules around here. 32 years before he was born, he was already declared. Abram, book of Genesis, given a promise that he would have a son and that nations would come from that son. It took 25 years for that child to make his appearance. And the Bible says that Abraham and Sarah at that time were advanced in age. Abraham was like 100. Sarah was 90. I mean, they were way past childbearing years. But the prophetic word said there's going to be a child born. It would be Isaac. And that out of him, that there would be nations. There would tremendous things would happen. All the families of the earth are going to be blessed through this godly line, this godly seed. But it took 25 years. Solomon was named by God 3 years before he was born. God said, his name is going to be Solomon. And that was the result. Now think of this now. His birth was the result of an adulterous affair. Are y'all with me? Children are marked by God regardless. They're marked by God regardless of the errors, regardless of the mistakes made. Children are marked by God. The seed is marked by God. So Solomon is named 3 years before he's born. He's going to be king. Solomon was the third king of Israel. Think of John the Baptist. It was announced by an angel to his parents that he would prepare the way of the Lord. Also, his birth was foretold centuries before in the Old Testament. Expectancy for you and your seed. Think of it, my friends. And of course, Jesus Christ, the ultimate seed, the Messiah, who would be called the Son of the Highest, prophesied. His birth was prophesied. There's going to be one born. He's going to save his people from their sins. His kingdom is going to know no end. It'll know no end. Power of seed, expectancy for you and your seed. We cannot lose our vision for developing our children's anointing because the battle is fiercer than ever. And we need to invest into ministries that involve children and youth and young adults because They are marked by God. There are destinies to be fulfilled. We cannot lose our vision for developing our children's anointing. That's why I emphasize the importance of the house of God. We must be committed to the house of God, and we must teach and train our children the importance of the house of God. Prioritize it, because if you don't, they won't. And then the world will suck them right in. Suck them right in. But I want to lift your expectancy for you and your seed today. I love this verse of scripture, Isaiah 54:13 in the Amplified Bible. Think of this word right here. He says, "And all of your spiritual children shall be disciples, taught by the Lord and obedient to his will. And great shall be the peace and undisturbed composure of your children." Pray it over them, my friends. Pray it over your family. Pray it over your children. Pray it over those that you consider your children, because you may be so close to them. Teachers, pray it over your students. Speak the word of God, because it's a promise. It'll raise our level of expectancy. And they may not even be serving God right now. You may have children that are so far away from God, but I'm here to tell you that they can have a supernatural encounter. I'm here to tell you that God, listen, there are examples and there are stories being shared today where Muslims are turning to Christ in Muslim countries because they are having supernatural encounters with Jesus Christ. And listen, it shouldn't surprise us. You know, it happened to Paul, who was Saul, right? I love what the scripture says on the road to Damascus. He hates the name of Jesus, hates it, hates anybody that preaches Jesus. He's on his way to Damascus. He's got all the documentation, because he's about to put to death and throw in prison anyone that would preach in the name of Jesus. Then all of a sudden, supernatural encounter. He struck down on the road to Damascus. And I love what the Bible says. Those that were traveling with him, it says, "We heard a voice, but we saw no man." But Paul saw him. Are y'all with me? Paul saw him. Just think, what would happen if all of a sudden one of your children that may seem so far away from God, and all of a sudden the Lord woke them up one night with a visitation? Their life would never be the same again. Amen. I believe it can still happen. I believe it does still happen. But we have the word. Amen. We have the gospel to give us faith, to give us hope, to give us expectancy. And God fulfills his word. So I want to raise your level of expectancy today for you and for your seed. Because also you and I as believers, if you're a born again child of God, you have to walk in the power of God's anointing. And then you can release that. See, if we're not going the direction with the Lord, well then we got to get right with God ourselves. But I want to show you, because, you know, God is the one who has instituted the divine institution of marriage. And listen, the word of God does not change. I don't care what a politician says. I don't care what any talk show host says. I don't care what movie stars, musician. Doesn't matter. God instituted marriage. It's between a man and a woman. It's worked that way for millenniums. And it's still his plan. Now, I just stepped into controversy. But it's not controversy with God. It's controversy in this crazy mixed up culture that we're living in. But I want to show you in God's word what is the purpose of marriage. And we have to go to the last Old Testament book of the Bible. Now, this is the ultimate spiritual purpose, okay? Now, we know there's a lot of benefits of marriage. Hello, somebody. You get your clothes washed. Got y'all on dinners. You got dinner on the table. I mean, man, there are benefits of being married. Hallelujah. Benefits. But I want to show you the ultimate spiritual benefit of being married. And God says it. This is so powerful. Because here is the ultimate purpose of marriage. And the Word of God says it is to produce righteous seed. Malachi chapter 2. Check this out. Malachi 2, verse 15. Did not God make you and your wife one flesh? What's the answer to that? Yes, he did. Did not one make you and preserve your spirit alive? That's a reference to creation. God created humanity. He's the one who gives us life. Paul understood that. He said it's in him that we live and move and have our very existence. God is the one who gives us life. He created Adam out of the dirt of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He goes on and he says, and why did God make you two one? Here's the answer. Because he sought a godly offspring from your union. Therefore, take heed to yourselves. Make sure you're walking with God, living for God. Make sure your spiritual life. And can I just give a word to the men today? Because men, we have an awesome responsibility before God to carry the spiritual mantle of the leadership and the authority of our home. And your role is so vital. Again, I don't care what the culture's saying. They don't know what they're talking about. They're deceived. Because what I'm saying right now, by culture, would be considered sexist. This is sexism. Be what it may. We have a mantle from God to be the leaders, the spiritual leaders, and to hold the mantle of leadership in our homes. And the reason why, pardon me, so many homes are screwed up is because the men have not taken the mantle. But when a man takes the mantle, one of the great things of Promise Keepers Ministry back in the 90s is that they called men to their rightful place. Thank God they're going to have a major relaunch of that ministry in 2020 in Dallas, Texas. I was there for the Million Man Prayer Meeting in October of 1997, and I plan on being there for the relaunch of that ministry to call men to their rightful place, their rightful jurisdiction. I plan to be there. Brother Duty and I are going to be there. I believe we're going to take a group of men there that have an interest, and we're going to be in Dallas, Texas. If the Lord says the same and the creek don't rise. Isn't that what they say? Well, down here it's the river. It's the tides. It's the marsh. Amen. Rightful authority. That's exactly what God is challenging men with right here. If you go into the Old Testament and study God's instruction, he always spoke to the fathers in reference to the influence in their home and raising their children, and how the spirituality was so vital for the success and the effectiveness of the family. And if we lose that, then what do we have? We have a nation adrift, and that's what's happening in America today. America is a nation adrift. Why are young men killing other young men on the streets? Because there's no father in their lives speaking into their lives, loving them, building them, pouring spiritual dynamic into their lives. So it's a nation adrift. So God in his word, man, he nails it for us right here. The purpose, he wants righteous seed, righteous seed. So that's why we have these incredible verses. So he said he sought a godly offspring from your union. Take heed to yourselves and let no one deal treacherously and be faithless to the wife of his youth. Men have a challenge to stay faithful to their wives. Are y'all still with me? And it's harder than ever in this culture today. But men have a challenge to do that. And when we do it effectively, I believe that we begin to reap the benefit, the blessing, the favor. Because he goes on and he says this. He says in verse 16, "For the Lord God of Israel says, I hate divorce and marital separation from him who covers his garment or his wife with violence." I mean, there should not even be such a thing as the Me Too movement today. But there is such a thing because of what men do to women. Again, I'm hitting controversy here today. But what would happen if we had men who were honoring women? Men who were sacrificing for wives. Men who were honorable and would be willing to lay down their life for their wife. I mean, we would not need movements such as that, you know. But because men are away from God and they are estranged from relationship with God, and the Bible says that when a man is estranged from God, that he lives his life based upon the lust of his heart. That's what the Word of God teaches us. And the only thing that can heal that, the only thing that can reconcile that, is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's the only thing that can bring healing. It's the only prescription. It's the only medicine that works. But that's the reason. You can even go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, when God said to Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful and multiply." God instituted family with purpose, and that purpose is rooted in relationship with God and the destinies that He has ordained. So it all begins with God and with relationship with God. Do you know Him today, my friend? If you don't, you can know Him before this service is over today. You can commit your life to Him. You can fulfill what God has for you. You can raise the level of your expectancy. And I know there's many that are single mothers having to, and our prayers and our compassion is towards you, because we know you have a tough job trying to fulfill the task and fulfill those roles. And we lift you up before God, that God would strengthen you and empower you, because your children are marked for God. They are marked for God. I love the story of Pastor John Kilpatrick, pastored the assembly at Brownsville Assembly of God in Florida, had that great revival back in the 90s. And John Kilpatrick, he's spoken at some of our ministers' meetings before. I've met the man, and a wonderful, wonderful brother in the Lord. He's all business for God, though. I will say that. He's all business for God. He tells the story. It's actually recorded in one of his books. You know, his father was an alcoholic, and had abandoned the home, and his mother, she had to take the mantle, and he shares the story. He said, "With my mother, church was not optional." He said, "It was not optional. We were never given the choice." He said, "We were going to be there whether we liked it or not." And he said she would tie us up if she had to, and she would get us to the house of God. And he said because she did that, he said, "I had men that God used to speak into my life." Guy became a great pastor. But as a young kid, you know, he really wasn't interested in the things of God. But seed is marked. It's marked by God. Raise a level of expectancy for you and for your seed. Even though society and even though men mess up and they don't do right, and people in the world mess up and they don't do right, we have to keep moving forward for God, and we have to trust Him for the results. And if we'll do our part, are y'all with me? If we'll do our part, I guarantee you, God is going to do His. He's going to make sure that it happens. Hallelujah. Raise the expectancy. Raise it. That's why Deuteronomy 30:19, he says, "I set before you life and death. I call heaven and earth as a witness. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, both you and your descendants." I love the King James Bible. It says that your seed may live. That you have to first of all choose the way of the Lord. You first of all have to choose life. That's why I entitled this message, this sermon, Expectancy for You and Your Seed. Because when you and I get serious about our walk, serious about our relationship, serious about the level of our spirituality, and we begin to walk with God, things happen. Hallelujah. That's why I stay so fired up, because things happen in the spiritual realm. So that's why I'm so diligent to make sure I keep my heart pure. I have to keep it right before God. I can't see certain things, watch certain things, go to certain places. I have to keep my heart pure because I want to walk with God. And that's why Paul said, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, because people are living foolishly. So see that you don't walk like fools, but as wise, because the days are evil. When you walk circumspectly, that means you're not worried about what your brother or sister's doing. You're only worried about what you're doing. You're not suspicious about someone else. You're suspicious of you. Are y'all with me? See, that's what it means to walk circumspect. You're always checking you. God, check me. The psalmist, he lifted his hands and he said, I will look under the hills. He raised his hand. He said, Lord, in what he was saying was, inspect me. Show me where. God doesn't need to know where he is. God knows, he knows exactly where he is. But the psalmist didn't know where he is. That's why he said, Lord, inspect me. Show me. Is there any wicked way in me? Anything that is offensive to you? Destinies that are ordained by God. Let me move on to the next thing. See, the devil is always after the seed. He's after the seed today. He's always been after the seed. In the Gospels, when the announcement that Jesus had been born King of the Jews, the wise men come from the east. They go to Herod. We've seen a star in the east. We're looking for him. Do you know where he is? No, I don't know where he is. But he commissioned them. You go and you find him. And when you find him, you come back to me. Well, they found him, because immediately when they left out of Herod's place, there's the star. And we read it at Christmas time, right? It's going to be Christmas before you know it. We'll have candlelight service. I can't wait for Christmas Eve candlelight service. One of my favorite services of the year. If you've never been to one, you better get your ticket. We might start selling tickets. Hallelujah. Because it's always crowded, and we only do one. I'm just joking. I'm not going to sell you a ticket. But we usually read this at Christmas time. You know, and the Bible says when they went out of the palace, they saw the star and they rejoiced when they saw the star. They were excited and they were like, there it is. Let's go. And they went and they worshiped. They had found him. They had found him. It had been prophesied. They were looking for him. They knew he was coming. It had been prophesied. They were looking for the ultimate seed. So then they're warned by God not to go back to Herod. Herod is infuriated. And what does he do? Because he was threatened. His kingdom was threatened. So he orders the execution of all male children, 2 years old and under. That was a satanic plot to kill Jesus. That's what it was. That was Satan's attempt to kill Jesus. Jesus. Why? Because he's after the seed. Are y'all with me? He's always after the seed. And that's why you have to do battle. That's why you have to dedicate yourself to God. Pray in the power of God. Pray in the anointing. I want to show you this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. This is what is called by theologians the first messianic promise found in God's word. It's a promise that there would be one who would come and who would break the bondage of sin, who would destroy the work of the devil. And it's Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And it says that it's in reference to the fall of Adam, the sin of Adam coming into the world, death by sin, and et cetera, et cetera. And the Bible says in this chapter that Satan used a serpent, a snake. He came in the form of a serpent. There's a lot of speculation about how all of that happened or what it looked like, but it's believed that the serpent was an erect creature rather than crawling, because afterwards there was a pronouncement of a curse upon the serpent. And he said, you'll eat dust all the days of your life. So there's a lot of stuff in there, but a lot of it is just, we don't really know for sure all of the details, because the details are not given. But what we do know is what God said, and he pronounced this judgment. He said, I will put enmity between you and the serpent. He's speaking that to the devil. Between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Bruising your head is a reference to the crucifixion of Christ on the cross. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, Satan was defeated. Amen? He was defeated. But the bruising of the heel is a reference to the actual death of Christ. So the bruising of the head means that Satan is finished. He is defeated. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ broke his stronghold and his authority. But he had to pay a great price. So his heel was bruised. It's spiritual symbolism that Satan was the one. If you ever saw the movie, The Passion, by Mel Gibson, there's a sequel coming out. I don't know if y'all know it, but there's a sequel coming out. And word is that... And Mel Gibson, again, is the director. And I think the same guy that was in the first film is also involved in this one. And word is that this is going to be the most awesome movie that has been produced in the last 50 years. And I can't wait to see what it's all about. But it's going to focus on the resurrection. So I don't know. We'll see. But I want to point something out to you in this verse, because I want you to notice when God said this, he made a reference between two seeds, right? Satan's seed and God's seed. Two distinct seed. The devil's seed, it's actually referred to as the woman's seed, but it demonstrates the battle. Light against darkness, good against evil. Kingdom of God against the kingdom of Satan. The word enmity in Hebrew, it means hatred, hostility, opposition. There's a battle. How many of you know there's a spiritual battle that's going on? It's waging. So many Christians don't even realize it's going on. But it's happening, my friends. And it's intense. And he said right here that the battle would unfold. And it's a battle for the seed. Consider this. First epistle of John chapter 3. Beginning in verse 10. He says, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. All right, so there you have it. Two seeds. Right? The seed of God, the righteous seed. The seed of Satan, the unrighteous seed. All right, so he goes on. He says, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. The battle of the seed. Do y'all see it? I wish I had time to talk about this, because this is such a powerful story. Because Cain, by his choice, if you go back to the book of Genesis, God questioned him and he said, why are you so angry and why has your countenance fallen? If you would do well, you would be accepted, but sin lies at the door. That's what God spoke to Cain. He was a seed of the devil because of his choices. Hello. At one time I was a seed of the devil because of my choices was not to serve God, but to serve myself, to unknowingly serve the kingdom of darkness. You might be in that position today. I'm here to tell you, you can come out of that. You can be born again right here, right now, today. You can pass from death to life. You can come out of darkness into light. It can happen just like that because it's supernatural. Salvation is provided instantaneously. But then we have the process of then learning and growing and developing and building the Christ life. But what's amazing about this story is that Cain was of the wicked one, killed his righteous brother. So the devil's seed killed God's seed. Think of the crucifixion, okay? Because if you go into the spiritual realm, and if you saw the movie The Passion, at the trial, you could see they were gathered around, and Satan is moving around them. And, you know, of course, they had to show it to you so that, you know, but it was a spiritual scene to show you what's happening in the realm of the invisible world, you know, and it's the seed. So it was in this instance, it was the devil's seed killing the righteous seed. At the crucifixion, same thing applies, but we go a little deeper and a little further than that because we understand that God says in his word that it was determined by the foreknowledge of God. So God is the one who really orchestrated it. Even though Satan, and I'm giving you some deep theological concepts here, I know, and I don't want to get you bogged down on that kind of stuff, but you know, but everyone serves the purpose of God, including the devil himself. And I believe that's why the Bible says at the end of time, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Even the devil himself is going to say, Jesus is Lord. He's going to do it in hell where he belongs, but don't follow him there. Come to God. Follow Jesus Christ. But it's a battle after the seed. But the amazing thing about this story is that he kills his righteous brother. He kills the righteous seed. But it ain't over. It ain't over, because the Bible says that Adam knew his wife again, and she brought forth seed, and they named him Seth. The righteous seed, Satan couldn't stop it. The righteous seed was killed, but then the righteous seed went on to the next generation. And God gave another son called Seth, and he carried on the righteous seed. And there's a reason why you find all of these genealogies listed in the Bible. You can go into Matthew and Luke, and you find all the genealogy. Go into the Old Testament and start reading in 1 and 2 Samuel and Kings and Chronicles. And I mean, it's just chapters and chapters, you know, of just, and this one begot this one, and this one begot this one. And this one begot this one, and this son, and this son, and this son. You know, and you read through that stuff, and you know, you get up at I'm up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm ready to have Bible study. Well, let me go to these genealogical records, and because that's really some exciting stuff right there. I mean, that'll put you to sleep in a heartbreak, right? But my friends, what if Federal Express knocked at your door and they presented you with an envelope that said, this is the genealogical record of your family tree for the last 100 years. You would be poring over that to find the connections and who you were connected to and the family line. And this one begot this one, and this one begot this one, and maybe this one dropped the ball. And, you know, it would be amazing. It would be amazing. You know, my father died in an automobile accident when I was a baby. So I never knew my father. And from the moment that Becky and I got married, I was always wanting to work with building materials. And I worked for 2 building material companies. Didn't know how to do anything. I remember installing the first toilet. Had never installed a toilet, but I was like, how hard can it be? You know? And we did so much on our first house. And I didn't know how to do anything, but I had a desire to learn, you know, and willingness to, you know, I'll give it an attempt. If I can't, then I'll have to call a professional. But, you know, and then come to find out my father's family side, which I know nothing about, owned a lumber mill. Isn't that amazing? You know, there truly is something that is passed down genetically. you know, in the DNA. You know, and I always had a desire, you know, to work around building materials and to you know, do carpenter work and remodel. I'm tired now. You know, I want to retire, but Becky won't let me. She's got projects planned, and I got to call the men of the church because I'm tired. No, it ain't no big deal, but I still won't call the men of the church. But if someone presented that genealogy, I mean, you would be so intrigued by that. There's a reason why God put that in the Bible. You know why? Because there's something in the seed. There's something in the seed. And God marks the seed. And that brings me to the next thing. Number three, see, we must fight in the spirit for our families. I love the story of Nehemiah. The walls of around the city of Jerusalem had been destroyed. And Nehemiah has the divine task of rebuilding it. He has to rebuild the walls. Now, I know in the political climate, you know, there's a lot of talk about wall building, you know, to keep out, you know, the biggest hot topic political issue right now is immigration. And, I don't like politics. I don't like delving into politics. You know, politics divide people. And everybody's got their ideas and their concepts and their opinions, you know. So I wouldn't want to delve into that area. But I will say this, is that God's word has a lot to say about building walls. And it's also in the sense of spiritual walls. And you and I must build a wall around our lives, a wall around our families. And walls were key things to protect God's people in the Old Testament. That's why they had walls around the cities. You know, so Nehemiah, the invading enemy, has destroyed the wall. Nehemiah, who was a cupbearer for the king, in other words, he had to cry out the boiled crawfish to make sure it didn't kill him. Dietary laws, they couldn't eat that, right? No shrimp, no crabs, no oyster. I'm so glad I'm New Testament. Aren't you? I'm so glad I'm New Testament. Everything is to be received if it's received with thanksgiving and prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Had some, Becky's sister was in town. We had some crab. Oh, whenever she comes, because she lives in Texas, all they got over there is brisket. Y'all have the brisket. Keep the brisket. I'll eat that when I go to Texas once every 2 years. Keep the brisket. But she comes down, she wants to get all that. Man, I want to go get crabs. I want to go get ball crabs. I want to go get seafood. It's all seafood, baby. It's all seafood, seafood, seafood. You know, so Nehemiah, he's a cupbearer. So he had anything that the king was going to eat or drink had to go through him first. So if he didn't die, how many of you know they weren't lined up for the position? Right? They weren't lined up for the job. It was high-paying job. Very high-paying. But, you know, if it kills you, you can't spend the money. So that was his, that's what he was. And he has this divine task to rebuild the walls. All right, so this is what it says in Nehemiah 4:14. He says, as I looked over the situation, I called together the leaders and the people and said, don't be afraid. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious. My friends, never, ever, 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 ever lose sight of that truth right there. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious. You might be looking over the situation. How am I going to pay this? How am I going to do this? How am I going to get my kids, you know, raised? How am I going to get, how? We may be faced with all of those things. Never lose sight of this, that the Lord is great and glorious. He's great and glorious. And if you will set your heart to seek him and to walk in his ways, he's going to make sure that he takes care of you in every need of your life. He's going to make sure that it happens. So he looks out over the situation. He calls the leaders, the people. He says, don't be afraid. Remember, the Lord is great and glorious. Fight for your friends, your families, and your homes. Nehemiah is rebuilding the walls, and he's praying, and he is setting a watch against the enemy. Reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew 24:43. He said, know this, if the good man of the house had known what time the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. He would have watched. Are you watching? Are you watching? Or are you possibly sleeping? Where's the spiritual level? Where are you, my friend? Where are you? God is calling you. You have to set the watch. You have to fight in the spirit for your family. Over the years, we've had to fight. We've had to fight for all of our kids and for their spiritual well-being. There had to be seasons of prayer. Many times we've prayed with people in ministry over their kids. I just had someone after the message this morning in the first service want to know, Pastor, what do I do? What is my next step? How can I turn back the enemy? Thank God that there are things that we can do. Amen? There are things we can do. Jesus said, set a spiritual watch. And really, and it brings me to the fourth thing, because we must understand that we have an anointing from God. Hallelujah. We have an anointing, and we can release the anointing. And my friends, the anointing of God is so powerful. It's so awesome, and it's so precious. I could give you story after story. Women concerned about their husbands. They would begin to anoint their pillows with oil. I mean, husbands bound by all kind of stuff. You know, like I say, it's the main, the devil uses the three main things because they always work. Three main things are, for men, I'm talking for men, three main things are sex. Got to watch out for that one. Second one is drugs, alcohol. Put those two in the same category. And you know, and this has application really to everybody. You just have to flip-flop the roles. Has the same application. Everybody fights the same challenges. All right, so sex, drugs and alcohol, and then money. The love, the pursuit, the worship of money. Money makes the world go round, right? Can't buy me love. Even the Beatles understood that, right? But I'll tell you what, if you got enough money, you can buy women. You might not buy their love, but they'll be with you. Prodigal son demonstrated that. And then when the money ran out, then all, as the scripture says, all the loose women had disappeared. Scripture doesn't really say that they disappeared, but all we do is find it. But he did say he wasted it with loose women. But we do find that he was in a terrible predicament. Wasted. He had wasted his opportunity. Wasted his inheritance. So those things, my friends. See, that's why we have to set a watch over our lives to make sure that we are going in the right direction and we are in the anointing of God. The anointing of God must be protected. I value, I highly treasure the anointing of God in my life. And I have protected and preserved the anointing of God in my life for as long as I've known God. I've protected it. I've preserved it. It doesn't mean I've always been on the top. No, 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 no. Listen, pastors fight the same struggles you fight. Deal with the same things you deal with. We have the same challenges you have. We're no spiritual supermen. We just have a call that we're trying to fulfill and trying to stay pure and right and going in the right direction. But I treasure the anointing of God. Because, man, I love the anointing of God. That's why I'm so passionate about preaching. That's why it's hard for me with this multiple service idea. You know, man, I can only preach 25 minutes. I'm just getting started at 25 minutes, you know, at the 9 o'clock service. You know, so it's hard for me to flow in that because I'm so passionate about God and passionate about His Word. And I love His Word and I love to preach and I love to be under the anointing and I love to seek Him. It's just awesome. I love to worship. Hallelujah. I got a new truck. I just broke down after mine going on 12 years. And man, this new truck I got is just awesome. And I can hit this button and I could say, play 107.5. And then all of a sudden, I got a Christian. Or if I got, this one still has a CD player. I know a lot of them don't have. I can press that button. I got the Hills, that song they sang today. I got that in the CD player. Play my CD. And all of a sudden, I'm just, oh, man, this is just awesome. It's just, I'm just worshiping God. Hallelujah. Yeah, man. Listen, worship. You know, when you begin to touch God, and you that's why I like to say this. Once you touch the fire, you can't live in the smoke. And you know, there, years ago, I touched the fire. And I've been trying to touch the fire ever since. But there's some times where I still get a little smoky, just like you. But I don't want to live in the smoke. I want to get back to the fire. Bible says we'll be anointed with fresh oil. Amen? The anointing of God is awesome. So here's what you do. Here's how you release the anointing of God. When you have it, when the power of God is in you, you learn how to wield it. You learn how to pray. Jude, one chapter, very small chapter. And we have this powerful instruction. He says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment that is spotted by the flesh. Hallelujah. You got to build. I love this word build. It's an architectural word. It means to cause a building to stand. It means to lay a good foundation. This is instruction on how to stay strong. This is how to pray with fervor. This is how to walk in intense spiritual authority. This is how to persevere. This is how to release power. When you touch the throne of God in Holy Spirit praying, I am telling you, supernatural things begin to happen. No wonder the devil is trying to stop us from prayer. No wonder he's trying to quench the prayer meeting. No wonder he's trying to stop the advancement of the prayer movement, because he knows that when we begin to touch the throne of God, you can read it in the book of Acts. The Bible says the church prayed when the apostles were in prison, and all of a sudden an earthquake hits. All of a sudden. Bible says suddenly the whole thing was shaken. I love the scene where the believers are gathered together in someone's house and they're praying. Peter's incarcerated. He's in jail. And they're praying. They're praying. God, rescue Peter. God, save Peter. God, deliver Peter from these authorities. Deliver him, God. Set him free. Then all of a sudden that miracle happens and the prison's doors are open. The jailer is about to kill himself because the prisoners are escaped. So then it's an incredible story. So Peter goes running out of that jail. Hallelujah. That's the original Jailhouse Rock right there. Come on, somebody. Amen. Elvis ain't got nothing on us. That's the original Jailhouse Rock. That jail rocked. Peter got out of that place. Then he goes knock on the door. He's beating on the door where the prayer meeting is. A little girl by the name of Rhonda goes, she says, oh, God, it's Peter. She goes running back. She said, he's here. Peter's at the, he's here. They said, oh, shut up. Isn't that just like church people? They praying for the miracle. The miracle happens, and they don't even believe it. They say, no, he's here. He's at the front door right now. You know, they just continuing to pray. And then she just, you know, they just disregarded her. And Peter's at the door. Come on. And somebody opened the door. The miracle. The miracle. There was a release. You know what happened there? There was a release. There was a release of the anointing of God. And when the anointing of God shows up, supernatural things happen. That's why I want you to raise the level of your expectancy. Your children, your family, your husband, your wife, none of them may be serving God. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You just keep walking. You just keep walking. Keep doing what God says to do. Get in that anointing. Learn how to pray. You know, that was my key to victory and success when I got saved. And I got saved the summer of my senior year, before my senior year of high school, which I should have graduated class of 75. Y'all didn't know I was that old, huh? Neither me. I'm getting ready to get something for my gray hair. Grecian formula, I don't know, whatever they got. Becky, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out how she stays looking so wonderful. How does she stay looking so young? And that's why I'm always after you. said, come here, baby. Young chick. And I'm trying, help me get rid of this. I got to do some of this gray. Let's see, how'd I get on this? What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, my senior year of high school. Y'all, I'm done. I just we're gonna have communion in just a minute. But I want to leave y'all with something. And in conclusion, so this is my in conclusion. Like the little boy in the church hits his mama. Mama, what does it mean when the preacher says an in conclusion? Son, it means absolutely nothing. But today, it kind of means something. It means that we're in conclusion, almost. I skipped out 31 consecutive days in my junior year of high school. So I had to go a half a year to graduate. It was a miracle for me to graduate high school. I mean a miracle of God, because I had been arrested in school. How many of you know when you're sitting in math class and the principal comes in on the PA and says, Miss Barnes, that was my teacher's name, my math teacher, is Stephen Smith in class today? I had to check that because I missed 31 days. Is Stephen Smith in class today? Yes, he is. Would you send him immediately to the office? When I walked into that office, and there were three detectives, and the principal, and the vice principal, I knew it wasn't going to be a good day. How many of you know it's not going to be a good day? But God is a miracle worker. I mean, had all of that in the 11th grade. And then just a year and a half later, I'm carrying a Bible to school and preaching in the halls of West Jefferson High School. I mean, y'all know this is part of my testimony. And had gospel tracts and scotch tape, taping Jesus Saves tracts on both sides of the administrative office doors. They hated that. They would always rip them off and reprimand us for doing that. So we try and get these, it was all boys school. So we try and get these heathens saved. They're a bunch of heathen. And they need Jesus. I remember going into class and, you know, I got up early in the morning because, man, I was like, I gotta be able to stand against this. I got up every morning, began to read my Bible, pray before daylight. Learned how to do it. Hit class. Man, I was ready. I was ready for the assault. I was ready for the war. And all those guys that I used to hang out with, all those guys that we used to do, I can't tell you what we used to do. All the things we used to do, all the things we were involved in. You know, when I went into the office that day, they asked me one question. They said, Smith, we're going to ask you one question. The question is, where's the guns? How many of you know we all have a story of where we've been? Amen? That's why I thank God every day, because I don't know why me, and then here I have been preaching the gospel now since 22 years. But thank God, somebody, somewhere, had to be praying. Seed is marked. It's marked. I was marked by God. Not raised in church, not raised in the things of God, but I was marked. And somebody was fulfilling Jude 20. Somebody was doing it. Somebody was building it. Somebody was crying out. And then there was a release. And when the release happened, the miracle of transformation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Listen, your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, they may be so messed up and so out there, and you may not even have enough faith to believe God for them. But I'm here to tell you today, don't give up. I'm here to tell you today, have expectancy. You may have children raised in the house of God, and they've walked away from it. Don't give up. Raise the level of your expectancy, because your seed is marked. You just keep walking. You just keep living. You just keep praying. You keep interceding. You keep walking and doing what you know God says to do, and leave the rest to Him. And here's the last and final thing. See, because God has prophetic intention for you and for your family. That's why I love Isaiah 55:11. Because God says, the word that goes forth out of my mouth is not going to return back to me void, but it's going to accomplish what I send it to do. Hallelujah. Thank God. When I stopped dealing drugs and I started preaching the word of God, they thought that I had drank too much mushroom juice or taken too much acid. Those were drugs of the 60s and 70s. And I can tell you how many times they said, man, Smitty is tripping. They call me Smitty. Smitty is tripping. No, I'm seated, I'm clothed, and I'm in my right mind. Come on, somebody. They didn't understand it, because a natural man can't understand the things of the Spirit. They didn't understand it. But when Jesus delivered the demoniac, that's what the Bible says. He was seated, he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. No longer bound. Hallelujah. No longer bound. Prophetic intention is what God declares. He sends his word. His word accomplishes what he sends it to do. See, prophetic intention is what God declares over us himself. It's his calling. It's his purpose. What he speaks, he performs. The word he sends, he accomplishes. That's why I love Jeremiah 1:12. Because Jeremiah 1:12, he says, I watch over my word to perform it.